Sam's like, man, something smells around here. And of course, it's revealed to be my guy Gollum,
yeah.
who's been rolling around in his single cloth outfit.
Steven. Radio.
All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of Steven LeBron Radio, long weekend edition.
Yeah, first off, me and Alex are sharing the mic, so I need permission every time I need to speak. This is my fault as a technical producer. One of the wires, XLR wires, is frayed. Just want to take the mic to say, Steven LeBron Radio. All
right. Yeah, so this is XLR Radio, I guess, instead of SLR Radio. And the reason why we need another mic today is because we got special guests, Josh from In Vintage We Trust, joining us. Josh, welcome welcome to this esteemed program, man.
Thank you.
What's up, man?
In the cut. I'm dialed in, ready to do this.
Yeah, so for people, I mean, if you see the episode description already, we are recapping the Two Towers today. You know, it's been well established that Will is a huge Lord of the Rings nerd, and we brought Josh on because, Josh, you are also a huge Lord of the Rings nerd. So why don't I pass the mic to Will, and the two of you can chat a little bit about, like, just your backstory with Lord of the Rings, and you guys can nerd out a little bit.
Yeah, I've never had to karaoke a podcast before, but here we are again. Okay, Josh, first off, is there a name for this? Like, is it like Tolkien heads? Like, what is this, man?
Yeah, maybe Tolkien head.
Okay.
Ring. Ring lord.
Ring lore. Yeah.
Just in a fantasy. I guess it'd be
just a general fantasy guy, like, you know?
It's called something though.
There might be a name
for it.
You know what? Alex is gonna look that up because he's part-time producer.
I think it's
producer.
Like a Tolkien. It's not a Tolkien head, but there is.
It's called a ringer.
I was very close.
Okay, a ringer actually sounds pretty cool. So this past Christmas season, you had invited me to your annual Lord of the Rings movie marathon.
Just before you get into it, it's actually all six movies. We start at The Hobbit and go all the way through.
Okay,
all right. I just wanted to make that. Because
that was going to be my question is, where do you stand on The Hobbit, first and foremost? Not to overwhelm Alex, who has only seen two movies so far, but yeah.
Two of the Lord of the Rings, or?
Just to be clear, I actually have watched the trilogy in full, like growing up when it came out. Mm-hmm. But I've smoked a lot of the different types of old Toby packs over the years since the films came out in the early 2000s, and I have no recollection of basically like all the films, and that's why we're doing this.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, so you're okay with The Hobbits?
I'm okay with the first Hobbit movie.
Okay.
The other two are just a part of the duration of watching all six.
All right.
But obviously, if you've read The Hobbit, the book, you know they're really not needed.
No. And most you could have done it in one movie.
Yeah, and yeah. Most of The Hobbit trilogy, the movies, is literary license. The screenwriter just wrote whatever they wanted into it.
Mm-hmm.
I do really enjoy the first Hobbit movie. It has
two
really, really vivid, incredible action scenes. The Goblin City scene, super incredible. And I also really, really like that one scene where the trolls get frozen.
Yes, they're arguing how to eat Bilbo.
And then, spoiler,
the sunlight comes out and they get turned to stone.
Yeah, it's great.
It's actually, Bilbo actually tells that story to kids in the beginning of the Fellowship.
Correct.
And for your purposes, The Hobbit was written first, and then Lord of the Rings was written as a sequel to The Hobbit. But Lord of the Rings became much, much more in-depth and much, much more popular. I actually found out today that it was like the number one most popular novel in the UK.
For many, many years.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, it won all those Oscars or whatever.
The movies.
Yeah, because when I was watching Two Towers yesterday, you know, first part, you know, as I did with Fellowship of the Ring, I was at the gym, you know, I loaded it up on my Amazon app and had on half a screen with half a Google Doc. As I was taking notes, I was like, oh, man, Battle at Helm's Deep is going to be sick on my phone
now. It's a great fight.
It's going to be great. But
on your phone?
Yeah.
The worst way to watch a film of all time.
So I was like, man, like, this is reminding me a lot of these kind of elements, even this big battle that's being set up, reminds me a lot of, like, Game of Thrones, which I watched, like, more recently. And then I started looking up. I was like, man, like, I wonder when all of this stuff came out. And I guess, like, Lord of the Rings is kind of like the OG of this genre where people are just, like, taking inspiration from J.R. Tolkien and just, like, kind of running with it with their own kind of different, like, spin on it.
Tolkien's the god. He's the OG. He created the entire genre. So when you reference Game of Thrones, I mean, it's kind of like, don't call me an old head, but watching a current basketball player, you know, whatever, make a move and then not.
You're like, yo, David Thompson did that in 1970.
Right, yeah, no, not even like a dream shake and then talking about like a new center or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, Tolkien's the guy who literally created the genre. Prior to Tolkien, the fantasy genre does not exist.
Mm.
On top of that, Tolkien was so crazy. He created languages.
Yeah.
For
he was a ling he was a lingual professor.
Yeah.
He's a linguist. Yeah.
So his universe that he's created, the Tolkien universe, has languages built into it. I mean, it's so deep.
You hear, for example, in this film, Aragorn is speaking Elvish to Legolas, speaking Elvish to Elrond, speaking Elvish to Arwen. He's spitting that game in Elvish, you know.
Yeah. No, the Elvish was interesting. This is like kind of like, when like
he's got Elvish Riz.
Yeah, it's like when me and you are like in an elevator and like, you know, with white people or something, and we don't want them to hear something, we'll speak like Mandarin because we're both fluent in Mandarin.
Very similar.
But this is what Aragorn was saying to Legolas, because like right before they went to battle, he's like, why are we strapping up all these civilians? We're gonna die. And like he didn't want them to hear that, so like he got his elf on. This is what he was doing. So let's just get into the movie first, man. We'll talk about the rest of it first. So we are reviewing the 2002 film Two Towers, directed by Peter Jackson, adopted from the J.R. Tolkien book of the same name from 1954. I can't believe this man wrote it way back in the day. So, you know, we pick up from Fellowship of the Ring, and basically a lot of these characters got split up, right? Like Frodo and Sam are heading to Mordor with the ring.
Yeah.
And I guess the first question for you, Josh, is like, because this is how it's going to work. I got a lot of questions.
Okay.
And you guys got to answer this for me. So their purpose is going to Mordor and just destroying the ring.
Correct.
Like that's their number one mission. Okay. And then Merry and Pippin got kidnapped at the end of the last one.
By orcs.
See, I got confused because there's orcs and then there's what? The Uruk-hai or something. Like there's these different types of monsters.
Both are orcs. It's just...
Okay, so why they got different names though?
Because they're a higher sect of orc.
Okay. Will, do you want to weigh in on this kind of monster kind of hierarchy? Because I got really confused because Saruman's building his own little army, right? He's got his own little army in the underground that he was like rolling out.
But all are fed in from Sauron.
Okay. Okay, okay. See, okay, so I, yeah, so the tower. Monster, the
you
monster
get it, right?
stuff.
There's two towers.
Yeah, I'm going to ask a question at the end. I still don't understand why this movie was called The Two Towers, but can you explain this monster stuff to me?
All right. Well, you know, as you know, Saruman was supposed to be an ally, right? That's what basically everything Gandalf does in this film and also the next film is what Saruman should have been doing. Okay, he's the leader of the wizards, and they were put onto Middle Earth, or just Earth in this case, to like you know lead to good events happening, to try to defeat evil. Except Saruman actually flips to the other side and actually goes to the other side. So that's why he destroyed his whole city, turned it into this orc factory, and made these special Uruk-hai who are supposed to have like super broad armor, shields, whatever, like a souped up orc, all right? Like, you know what I mean? Like a super orc. And he was going to try to take over Rohan, which is the country of men right beside Isengard. And meanwhile, you saw Sauron and Mordor try to take over against Gondor. So basically, men are under attack on both ends. You know what I mean? Like, you know, men's rights activists all around the world right now are sweating.
Humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, humans are under threat. So Merry and Pippin are kidnapped on the last one. And where are they? Bring your mic closer. Where are they trying to bring Merry and Pippin right now? Like, these orcs have Merry and Pippin.
They're
What's
bringing
their purpose?
Them to Isengard.
Okay, the purpose is to bring them to Isengard, but we don't know why.
Okay, this was explained when those were sent out by Saruman. Okay, I can't believe we're doing a whole plot about this. Saruman is like, all right, there's some hobbits out there with something I really covet. I want you to bring them back to me alive and unspoiled. Okay, he said it in like a real evil way, yeah.
Because he still doesn't know which hobbit has the ring.
Oh, okay. So they think, these orcs think they got the hobbits who have the ring.
Yeah.
So they snatched up the wrong two.
I don't know if you remember, at the end of the first movie, Merry and Pippin...
I know you're going to love listening to this back.
Merry and Pippin sacrificed themselves so Sam and Frodo can get away.
Okay.
So the orcs think that Merry and Pippin have the ring.
Right. Okay.
And I mean,
they're just
orcs. I mean, they're not really high level.
They're not like investigative, like journalists.
They're not bringing, you know, two and they're not putting two and two together.
Do they have brains? Yeah.
They got brains. Okay. But, Like, they don't really know that much. So
they're also like cannibals because, like, you know, later 100%. On they want to eat Merry and Pippin.
Well, they're hungry
because they're getting a little hungry
because all they've eaten for three stinking days is what's the line?
It's like maggoty bread.
Maggoty bread.
Yeah, they had the maggoty bread. Bread. They weren't feeling that. Definitely want to get into the food of the Middle Earth universe as well.
Okay. First off, you can't just fast forward through this, all right? This is an iconic scene. Okay. When the Uruk-hai, they get tired, they're at the edge of the forest.
We're gonna get there.
And the guy goes, I'm starving. Wayne had nothing but maggoty bread to eat for three stinking days.
Yeah. What about them? They look fresh.
They are not for eating. What about the legs? They don't need those. Oh, they look tasty. And then he gets his head cut off, and then the guy goes, looks like meat's back on the menu, boys.
So this big brain orc, his plan was to eat their legs and then still carry them to Isengard.
Yeah.
Like they're like
they would still be intact.
Yeah, but not unspoiled.
They're carnivores, though. Yeah, they were hungry
for meat. Okay, so we got Frodo and Sam. So we got three plots to start this movie. So we got Frodo and Sam making their way, but they realize they're running in circles. They're walking in circles. Merry and Pippin got kidnapped.
Right.
And then we got Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli, who I'm just gonna call the big three.
I don't have to
like refer to them. They're trying to chase down and find Merry and Pippin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're on an all out sprint.
Yeah.
To chase the orc tribe that has Merry
and
Pippin.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, we right away first scene, like, I think Frodo has a dream and like he sees Gandalf like falling, because we go back to that Gandalf death scene from the first one. But then we see Gandalf like, I guess, fall, and he's like just fighting this Balrog like,
all the way down. Yeah.
All right, here comes another little explainer, all right, as we karaoke this thing back and forth. So,
we haven't done one scene yet.
As you understand, there's men, there's orcs, there's elves, there's dwarves, you know, and then there's like the special categories. So Sauron, Gandalf, Saruman, Balrog, they're all part of the Maiar, who are sent to Middle-earth, and they're special beings. They're like mythical beings. And the Balrog is like the same class.
Isn't he like a demon though? He was sent to Earth.
I thought all the Maiar were sent to Earth. This is maybe. Where again, there's a lot of lore. There's also something called the Silmarillion, which is a separate book. That's kind of like a super explainer for all of this, and it's like it's very detailed. Yeah.
So for someone like me, like just watching on the phone, like, and without context of like of the lore, like, am I supposed to pick up on those like contextual cues? Because I didn't know Gandalf wasn't from Middle Earth.
Oh yeah, you don't really know that, and no one really knew that unless you were reading like 15 books and or watched the new prequel series that dropped last year on Amazon. Because they get into all that stuff. I'm not going to spoil it because you're definitely going to watch it later, right? I don't want to spoil that for you.
Yeah, we're going to get into it. We're going to get into that. So, okay, let's go through this movie.
But I mean, you really don't need to know that much background to understand that there's a demonic 50-foot monster that's trying
to
kill.
He's not human. He's
not
human.
That's not human.
Because he literally lit up in flames, basically.
Yeah, he's lathered in flames.
Yeah. And I know Gandalf is like a different type of cat. Like he's a wizard.
Yeah.
He's got his own little, his staff, you know, he's got like special powers or something.
Yeah, the wooden staff,
Okay, so let's start Frodo and Sam, you know.
They have the dream sequence.
Yeah, dream sequence. And then whatever. They're walking around. They're walking around like, you know, and I think Sam's just like, damn, yo, we've been walking around in circles. Like we're trying to get the Mordor.
Yeah.
And then Sam's like, man, something smells around here. And of course, it's revealed to be my guy Gollum, who's been rolling around in his single cloth outfit.
It's not even a cloth. It's like half a cloth.
Yeah, in like half a cloth.
Yeah.
He like puts Sam in a chokehold, and then Frodo threatens to like cut him with his knife. And then
Sting.
Okay, so there's like a special name for that. Mm-hmm. And then they end up chaining up Gollum, basically. And like we're starting the whole story during this whole second movie for these guys is like Sam is like super not trusting of Gollum, which I understand because like look at him. And meanwhile, like Frodo's trying to like, you know, be the good guy and be like, yo, like I see what the ring's done to him.
Right. Like he's seen himself in Gollum.
Starting to fall into that.
The Two Towers is really all about character development opposed to plot development, which is what the first movie's about. So you really get into like the depths of each individual character and their relationships to each other. That's why Tolkien broke them up into small groups.
Mm. Yeah.
Like Legolas and Gimli have this incredible friendship that's kindled through the second movie. And you really get to see it.
All right. So first off, that's absolutely the case, right? And that's why there's so much like dialogue. There's a lot of action in the films, but realistically, it's what makes it really worthwhile. Like most action films is they give you a purpose behind it. And so you can appreciate it a little bit more. The other questions are just like, first off, I know you had previously said you were terrified of Gollum when you watched this film.
He is scary.
Growing up, in your 30s. So
like how old were you when you first saw Gollum?
So I just want you to know, like, That piece of cloth, like that. We have someone named Josh right now who deals a lot in vintage clothing. That's a vintage item right there.
That's old.
How much would Gollum's cloth be going for in your shop?
Game-worn Gollum as he tries to get to the Black Gate.
Screen matched?
Yeah.
Oh. Maybe like 100K.
I think that's going straight to auction.
Straight to auction.
That's going to auction.
Yeah, and not a live auction on Instagram like a real one.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm actually going to reveal that coming out of this movie, Gollum has become my favorite character, but I'll save that. But Gollum's my guy now. But then we got the Merry and Pippin thing that's happening, like you mentioned. The orcs got them. And then the other thing about this movie that jumped out to me was like a lot of new characters get introduced.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of new characters. So I need to understand. So one of the first set of characters that gets introduced is there's this king. What's his
Theoden.
Name? Theoden. Who's all frosted up at the start because he's got possessed by like Saruman and stuff, right?
He's under a curse.
Yeah, and we got our guy Grima Wormtongue.
Yeah,
who's just like one of the most sleaziest looking actors of all time. Like you know right away that this guy's up to no good. And then there's like I can't even pronounce these names, man. So who's
you have Eowyn. Yeah. You have Eowyn, which is Theoden's niece.
Yeah.
And her brother, I think.
Is Aelmer.
Aelmer.
Carl Urban, who has gone on to become a fairly successful actor, which is kind of good
for him. Yeah, no, he's legit.
So he's leading the charge of the army.
Where are they all from?
They're all from the country of Rohan. Okay. Rohan, yeah. Okay. Which is also a very common Indian name, to be clear. Yeah, yeah. Okay. But just keep going.
Okay, so we meet all these
people. They're from a human city, a human palace.
Yeah, so yeah. We meet all these people, and basically Wormtongue is like scheming, and he gets the Eomer guy like kicked out, banished.
Yeah.
And that's when Eomer goes and runs into the big three.
Yeah.
And tells them about all the stuff that's going on.
Well, yeah, because they had just killed that tribe of Uruk-hai, of orcs.
Right.
And they cooked all the bodies.
Right.
And then,
because Eomer's like, yo, we slaughtered them.
Yeah.
And they're like, yo, did you see two hobbits? And they're like, no, we left nothing
Nobody.
Alive.
Yeah.
And that's
smoked everybody.
That's when Aragorn goes and like he's smart. Like he looks at like the grass and traces how like Merry and Pippin crawled out of there.
Well, he's a ranger, so he can do kind of crazy shit like that. Like see a bottle and then know what happened to it like 50 years before and stuff.
Yeah. Right. So now they're in Fangorn Forest?
They're at the tip of it.
Okay, they're at the tip of the
forest.
They walk into the forest. Not a huge fan of the trees in this one, but we can get into it. So Will, why don't you explain, like they meet this Treebeard guy. And he explains that they're all ants, or whatever they're called. Like, explain this tribe to me.
Ants, as described in the... Actually, the movie did a really good job of this, because there's not that much more to it. But, like, they're the shepherds, they're the protector of trees. So, are they actually trees? Probably not, but at the same time... Trees are active organisms, not just in real life, but like in the films. They move. I think they migrate a little bit. They groan and make noises and stuff. And then the Ents are there kind of just to protect them or to take care of them. I'm sure probably in some cases even help, like, I don't know, reproduce.
Things had
not saying they fuck the trees.
Things
but like,
had happened in Fangorn Forest in the past, and it was cursed.
Yes.
And the Ents were actually put there to look after the forest.
Right, got you. Yeah. That's good background. So, but the thing is, the Ents are like, yo, like, we're not part of this, all right? Whatever you guys want to do, like, we're more ancient creatures, you know, we're here to protect the trees, and that's it. You know, they're like, they're environmentalists above all else.
Well, because they're asked to pick a side in the movie, and they're like, I don't have a side,
we're gonna
get Switzerland,
there.
I'm with the acorn.
Yeah, so the tree, that one tree, the Treebeard, is like super skeptical of like who Merry and Pippin are, because like he doesn't believe them when they say that they're just hobbits.
Yeah, right?
And that's why he's like
he thinks they're orcs.
Yeah, so he's got them captured. He's bringing them to the other trees, and then meanwhile we go back. Frodo and Sam walk through these like dead marshes.
Yeah,
where they see like all the dead bodies and stuff. What is that area? Like, is there a history I'm supposed to know
about what took place there many, many years prior. Mm-hmm. And Frodo is very different in the movie than he is in the book. In the book, he's much more of a proactive, self-assured character.
Yeah.
And he's really, really helpless in the movie. Like him just falling face first into the pond.
He's weak. And, like, yeah, he's super weak in this movie.
Yeah, and I get the reason they did that is to show that, because the ring is supposed to have all this power over him, mm-hmm. but he's very different in the book. He's not the same character, really. So that's basically what happens. He falls in face first. But the craziest part about that whole scene is he gets taken out of the water because he's drowning.
Yeah, Gollum saves him.
Yeah. Boom.
He says, this is the whole, okay, for these three guys, and I know you previously described Lord of the Rings as like, there's just a bunch of guys walking around, all right, for 9 hours. This is the film where there is a lot of walking around for these three in particular, right? First, they literally, Frodo and Sam, they walk in circles. Then they tame a Gollum. He teaches him his name. Right, because no one's called him Smeagol since he literally forgot his own name. Like, you got to think Smeagol's like 500 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. They teach him his name again, and Frodo chooses to trust him. Obviously, it's on the condition that he's bound to the ring. I know it's like not spoken about too much, but like that actually is a super binding thing. All right, the ring is now going to hold him to his word because he swore on the ring.
I know that because he starts calling Frodo his master.
Yeah.
Like that's the dynamic between them, right?
Yeah.
Like he's doing everything for the ring. And I thought that was a big scene too, like when, like you mentioned, when Frodo starts asking him, like, yo, I heard about your backstory. Like, you used to live on the riverside.
Yeah.
Like, you're Smeagol. And then you see, like, the glimmer in his nasty eyes. No, like, he's like, remembering. He's like, yo, I used to be, like, somebody else. Like, I didn't used to be this, like, you know, fried up
monster.
And
Smeagol, at one point, he's another sect of Hobbit. He's not really.
He's not a Hobbit.
No. He's a little bit bigger than a hobbit.
There's three types of
River
hobbits.
Folk. What are they called?
So there's three. I'm not really sure, to be honest, but there's three groups of hobbits, right? There's like the hobbits that largely we're seeing here. There's also another one that came from the river. That's why he loves fish so much. And you see him eating fish, repeatedly talking about eating fish. Yeah. He loves eating fish because he's one of the river folk.
Yeah, he has a really weird line in the movie where he where he's talking to Sam
because
Sam's cooking it. Yeah, and he's like, I like to eat it raw. And like,
bro,
he
just crawls up the
sand. It's kind of weird,
And he goes, I want it raw and wiggly. And I was like, yo. Stop it. All right, go ahead.
Oh, man. So all that Smeagol stuff, basically. Like, you know, like, I know Gollum's feeling good. He's feeling emotional now. Like, someone cares about him. But the other problem is, like, this man starts having, like, the split personality.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the Gollum
talks
and Smeagol.
Talks to himself all the time.
The Gollum versus Smeagol starts happening.
Yeah.
Like, you start seeing that split.
Smeagol. Yeah.
So they're heading to the Black Gates of Mordor. And I was actually shocked that they got there.
Yeah.
Like, they were right there. I was like, damn, I thought this wasn't going to happen until the third movie.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, they're going in right now?
Then what happens?
Yeah, I thought for sure they're going to go and take an L and then, like, obviously have to regroup because it's only the second movie.
Well, they would have been smoked.
But they're there and then they see, like, the whole army rolling in, right?
Right.
This is what happens. And then basically, Gollum talks them out of going in. He's like, let me take you to this shortcut, this long
way
of like through a tunnel and all this
stuff.
And they listen to him.
Well,
and
he has no choice.
And that's a big thing.
Yeah, again, like this is all behind the bigger theme of Frodo choosing to trust in Gollum, giving him his identity back as Smeagol. I actually, the whole Smeagol talking to himself scene between Smeagol and Gollum is really great. It's now that I've gone to therapy, it's like this is a coping mechanism that served them in the past. Mm-hmm. The Gollum, you know, character really helped him survive. You know, he'd been living out in a mountain eating just raw fish, you know what I mean? And he got this ring, it's possessed him. It's for hundreds of years. He only got a cloth left. Like, he's been tortured in Mordor. He gets tortured again in this film by the men in Gondor as well, by Faramir. So like, he's needed to develop this like other character to sort of like adapt and get through the hardships. But in doing that, it's corrupted and made him super evil and he's lost his identity. And that's where Frodo's showing him kindness, which is the only person in the whole film that shows him kindness the whole time.
Everyone hates
that's
him.
That's what changes him, man. He goes to therapy.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, that's what
Smeagol goes to therapy.
that's what switched me over to being a pro Gollum guy, because the other character that I absolutely cannot stand is Sam. Because I think...
Wow!
Because...
That's a huge L!
So you weren't here, for, you know, obviously when we talked about the last one. My problem with Sam from the first movie
tell
is
Tell me
like,
you've never seen the third movie without telling me you've never seen the third movie.
So my problem with Sam up to this point is like all he's bringing to the table is friendship. Like there's no other attributes that he's bringing.
Okay.
Like especially if you're like... You're like the consigliere of the ring right now that Frodo's holding. Like, I feel like you gotta be bringing more. Even when they got to the Black Gates, they almost have a whole issue because Sam falls down the mountain and gets like trapped in this like sinkhole and stuff.
And then
Frodo's
gotta
roll
there.
In. Yeah, and then Frodo's gotta roll in and save him again. Like how many times does Frodo have to step up? Like, he's not got enough on his mind. Okay, so they're like, okay, we're at the gates. We're not gonna go. So they make a move. And then this is around this time when all the characters get into the forest now. Because, like, the big three guys are, like, following them.
Right.
And they're hinting that, like, oh, this white wizard's pulling up. And I think you're supposed to think that it's supposed to be Saruman.
Yes.
And then, of course,
they
it's revealed.
They actually morph the voice, so it sounds Saruman at the beginning of that scene.
But, of course, it's revealed to be Gandalf. So Gandalf makes his, like, big return.
From the dead.
So he's been resurrected is what...
Correct. He's like no longer Gandalf the Grey.
He's
Gandalf now
the
Gandalf
White.
The White.
Okay, yeah. So I needed an explanation on that of like... So Gandalf
he
the
dies.
White just means that like he's come back now. And he's talking about how like he only has a limited time. Like he's going to complete his task and then he's gone.
That's it. This is like... This is like Jordan coming back for those three seasons.
Yeah.
I'm a complete the three.
He legit on the Wizards, too. No, this is Jordan on the Wizards.
Oh, Wizards.
He legit a wizard.
Wizards. Fine, Wizards. Yeah. I was going to give like a reference like Bork semi coming out of retirement to go at the Avs in like 2000 or whatever, win the cup, and then just be like, I'm out.
Yeah. So
it's
like,
over.
So like, it's like established, like, yo, this is his last run. He's got to get this done. Whatever he needs to get done. And then he's like, actually dead.
But Gandalf is on a whole other level once he dies. He comes back and the powers are like through the roof.
Okay, so he's
like
powered
he's
up.
Next okay, leveled
tell me
up.
The difference, Will, between Gandalf the Grey and Gandalf the White Man.
I mean, okay, so first off, there's like five wizards, right, that were sent to Middle-earth to like again assist them, try to bring them into the right thing, salvation, things like this. Only two that are relevant to this one are Saruman, who is supposed to be the leader of the whole.
He's the wisest and oldest.
Yeah, but he turned to evil, and so when Gandalf died, he got sent back as what Saruman should have been doing. So now you're seeing, like, you know, he already had a lot of powers to begin with. He has like a ring that like allows him to control fire and stuff like that. So you still get to see a lot of that in action. You saw probably more of that in the first film, I feel like, but. Yeah, I mean, he's got various light tricks. He got that horse. You know, he's just whistling.
But that
wind.
One scene,
Shadowfax shows up
where they're in the Rohan kingdom.
Yeah.
And Theoden says, Sauron speaking through him. He says, "You have no power here, Gandalf the Grey."
Yeah.
And dude just strips off the.
Woo!
Yo,
that was hard. That was hard as hell,
man. Threads. Let me bounce on you right now.
That was so hard. And he said, "What did he say? I will. What is that? I will draw you." Like poison is drawn from a wound, and then he finally beats Saruman, because in the first film all you saw was Gandalf taking L's versus Saruman.
Oh yeah, he got cooked hard by
him. But now he actually came back and beat him. This is like when Jordan finally beat the Pistons.
Yeah, okay.
Yo, for real.
So is it established like Gandalf is the most powerful dude? Like,
I mean,
like
in these movies? I mean, Sauron is the most powerful being.
Okay. Yeah. That's the eye.
But I mean, in terms of like wizards currently on Middle Earth.
Like Gandalf can handle
Gandalf's
business
on,
against anything.
Yeah, he can hang with anybody.
Okay. And do we think like, I know there's a third movie coming, obviously. And like, I'm sure Saruman's finally going to stop being a coward and like come out of his little Isengard spot. Do we consider him a coward for just like making moves and not coming out? In the battles
stuff? Yeah, he doesn't do anything.
Because he's just like kind of like pulling the strings, right?
He's just pulling the strings and stuff. Yeah.
But do we respect Saruman at this point as like a villain? Like the stuff that he's pulled?
There's parts of the Two Towers where he's really menacing. Yeah. Where him and like Grima, or he's speaking to Grima in the tower. In the tower. And he's like, my lord, we would need... an army of tens of
thousands.
And
he pulls out to the balcony.
And then he pulls the curtain, and he's like, what about this? Dude starts crying and stuff. Then you really know that Saruman's on another level.
But do you guys respect Saruman as like a movie villain? Like, do you think he's like, oh, this is a scary dude?
Honestly, I think like Saruman's a little puss. Like, I'm not totally into him.
Okay, so this is
also, I feel like Saruman steals a lot of Gandalf's swag. Like,
yeah.
They look the same. You know what I'm saying? Plus, dude's got almost the same name as his master, Sauron.
Right.
Kind of a weird flex.
It's Sauron's man, you know? No, but, yeah. Okay, so this is where in the book, Saruman is really trying to play almost like both sides, and he was trying to eventually like betray and beat Sauron once he got the ring. He was like, he's like, you know, I'm gonna pretend to be Sauron's ally, but then I'm gonna build this army, I'm gonna come over here, I'm gonna get the ring, and then boom, I'm gonna come back and beat them. But in the movies, he's really just portrayed like a villain, and then you'll see a very hilarious ending for him the next film.
And do we,
he gets gooned up.
Is it established yet? Like what is Sauron, man? Like this eye, like, are we supposed to like not know everything about that yet?
So there's other books, and in the Hobbit trilogy, they do speak about, how Sauron came to be.
Okay. But in the movie, we're supposed to just, if we're just watching the movies, we're just supposed to take it as like, he's this like omnipresence, like kind of like
he's a
the
yeah,
evil. Like
yeah,
he's like
he was
evil.
Killed. Well, they talk about it in the first movie.
Okay,
there was a battle thousand years prior.
Oh, this
prior.
Is the first battle. Yeah.
The guy's finger gets cut off.
Yeah. Okay.
The ring. Aragorn's forefather grabs the ring and it seduces
yeah,
him.
He becomes crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
So okay. That was Sauron like 1,000 years prior, but
yeah.
he doesn't kill the, he doesn't destroy the ring in Mordor.
Yeah.
And Sauron's aura festers and it never goes away. And he rebuilds, I guess, his energy and he just becomes an eye because he no longer has a body.
Right.
But
right.
he's still able to control at all of his power the same way he did before.
Right. Okay, so Gandalf comes back in the movie. This man like summons a white horse because that's what he does. And then so now it's like the big four now. So it's like the three of them, Gandalf's there. They all go ride to see the king.
Theoden, yeah.
Theoden. Mm-hmm. And that's when, like you mentioned, like Gandalf flexes, beats Saruman, basically beats Saruman out of Theoden.
Yeah, he cooks him.
Because he falls back onto his tower in Isengard.
Yeah.
And then
that's a great scene.
Yeah, and then Theoden goes from permafrost to like a regular dude again. Like he's regained his consciousness.
Yeah, he gets those straggly hairs cut off of his face.
Yeah, he's back. And then they have like all these arguments and basically Theoden decides to evacuate all his civilians to Helm's Deep.
Well,
like that's the decision that they make, but like not everyone's happy about that.
Well, yeah, no one's happy about that, but he's not really given a whole lot of options. Plus, he doesn't have an army. Eowyn is gone. His nephew
like,
and the
bro,
army of Rohan
banished them. Yeah.
is gone. Right. They don't even know where they are.
Bro, they're just running around killing random orcs.
Ain't nobody got cell phones and stuff. Like,
actually, if they did have cell phones, a lot of this movie could have been a lot easier because Gandalf has to leave the party to go get them. Then he's got to go all the way back.
That's
like,
right. Yeah.
You just text them and be like, yo, come right back to the spot. Like, it'd be fine.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Watching it again today, I was like, why are they so mad? Because like Gandalf's counsel, his wisdom here was like, well, you guys should just go fight them on the field. I'm like, bro, fight them on the field. You guys got 300 people, including some kids. You wanted to fight them with no like castle.
And that old guy with the one eye who shows up later. Yeah.
That guy's a classic. No, that's guys. By the way, the backstory here too is, so Theoden actually already knows Aragorn. In the extended edition of this film, which is another 40 extra minutes, there's a scene where, you know how Eowyn is like talking to Aragorn this whole time as they're walking. There's a lot of walking in this film. Let's be honest. There is. And she's like, he's like, yeah, I remember Theoden as a kid. Aragorn's like saying that. He's like, I remember your uncle as a kid. And she's like, wait, that means you're mad old. Like, you can't be 60, 70. And he's like, yeah, I'm 87. Bro, Aragorn is 87 this whole time. He's known Theoden as a kid, even though he looks way younger.
Yeah. He's like the best looking 87-year-old. Like,
yeah,
ever.
No, that's insane. Yeah, the age is like all messed up too because there's a lot of these people that are like hundreds of years old.
So I have spoken to other ringers about that and they feel that in different parts of Middle Earth, age is told differently.
Yeah.
So,
but also from like a movie standpoint, obviously you're not gonna cast an 87-year-old to play Aragorn.
Patrick Stewart as Aragorn.
Like you need Viggo Mortensen to be like that guy.
Yeah.
So this is a part that I need some explaining. Is like there's this whole subplot with the elf, what's her name? Arwen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Liv Tyler,
right? Yeah. So I honestly was just confused. Like what, like she stayed back at home and then like her dad, Agent Smith from The Matrix, comes in. And is like giving her this like flash forward of like, yo, if you get with Aragorn, you know, he's gonna get old and die, all this stuff. Like, what's the conflict there? Arwen supposed to die soon or something too?
No. Yeah. Okay. So
super confused.
He's giving her two options.
Yeah.
They're at a time, the time of the elves is over.
Yeah.
And they're going to go on basically a boat.
Yeah.
And
just ride out.
Ride it out forever. Done. Basically, and be immortals.
Yeah.
So what he's trying...
Because elves are immortal.
These particular ones are. And if they go to this one particular part of Middle Earth, they can live forever.
Okay.
He's trying to save her the anguish of living the rest of her life. First of all, she's not going to live forever. Second of all, Aragorn is going to die.
Yeah, so she'll be like a widow. Like,
right.
She'll just
and
be living
gonna
this life.
She's going to have to live with sadness.
But so she wants that. Like, she's debating.
She wants to love, then not love at all. That's the theme of that particular part.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because then we got, do we have a little love triangle brewing with Eowyn too?
A little bit, but he don't really know about that too much.
That's so lame to me because, like, again, Aragorn is 87 years old. Okay. She's like 25, 30, like
max.
It's problematic. It's too nasty when you think about it in these terms.
Aragorn's basically Middle Earth Hugh Hefner, like in the books.
Well, the thing is, Arwen, his actual girlfriend, is also like thousands of years old.
Yeah, she's like 1500
years old.
So
are they technically together? Like they're.
Aragorn and Arwen? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
they're a
okay.
thing.
Okay, but they're separated right now.
Right.
She's like back home wherever she is.
There's that one scene that's explained where it's like a flashback, and when they all left Rivendell, this is like not shown, but you know when they had the meeting, he's like, "Yeah, you know what? I've spoken with your father, and this is all very paternalistic, all right? But I've spoken with your father, and he's raised the point that I'm mortal, and you're immortal. You should go with your people." And she's like, "My love is mine to give, and it's my choice." She's like, "You know what, man? Fuck what my dad said."
And that's
right,
when
I
she gives
you.
Him the chain.
Yeah, that chain, which is ultimately kind of what saves him in many moments too. But yes. You know what I mean? But in any case, that's her whole struggle. And also, like, Elrond, you mad corny for that speech, man, because he's like, "Yo, guess what? There's nothing for you here." I'm like, "What do you mean? You guys are going to be married for 100 years. You guys are going to have a kid. And, like, you know what? Like,
but she's going to be living. She's going to be the biggest queen on Middle Earth.
That too. She's
going to be living it.
She's going to be like permanently alive, basically, to see all the future generations. Meanwhile, then at the end of his speech, he's like, "I'm your father. Don't I have your love too?" I'm like, "Get the hell out of here, man."
Yeah, honestly, was getting
that ponytail.
Yeah, was getting weird vibes. Was getting weird vibes from Agent Smith. Yeah, so it's the Undying Lands that they're going to.
Yes.
They had that written
down.
Yeah,
there you go.
So if they go there, they're immortal. Like, they're all good. Okay.
Right.
Okay, so all these guys, like Legolas, Gimli, Aragorn, these guys ride out, and that's when, like, they get attacked by these wargs.
Yeah.
So this is not the big battle scene at the end, but this is, like, in kind of the middle of the movie.
Right, right.
That's when Aragorn gets dragged off a cliff,
mm-hmm.
and he falls off.
Yeah.
Legolas has some, like, nice bow and arrow work in
oh,
that
yeah.
scene. Where he does it, and he jumps on
Let
the horse.
Let that man cook.
Yeah. No,
Let
no.
that man cook.
Yeah, Legolas has some good scenes in this one. And then, so Aragorn is like, whatever, another dude presumed dead. You know he's not dead. So he's floating in the water. And this is when, like, again, Arwen, like, pops up in a dream, like, kisses him and wakes him up.
Yeah.
And then he just walks his way to Helm's Deep.
Well, no,
what was the point of that?
Walk his way to Helm's Deep.
That's my whole thing. It's like, bro, this was the worst pump fake of all time.
What was the point of that subplot?
No, there wasn't much point. For me, like, we've already seen at this point too many fake deaths, all right? Because Gandalf dies, but he comes back. And he comes back better. It's like, it's almost better that he died. He saved the rest of them from the Balrog, and then he comes back even better. Boromir actually does die, which, you know, honestly, at that point, I was already tired of him. You know what? He's gone.
Yeah, he's not great.
Yeah. But then, like, what are you pump faking Aragorn's death for, man? I know the film doesn't exist without him. Like, you might as well pump fake that Frodo dies. Like, get out of here, man.
Yeah, he's integral to the entire movie.
Yeah, this man woke up with a scratch on his arm and just walked his way to Helm's Deep. It wasn't even that traumatic when he, like, came through.
It was kind of.
Was it?
Yeah, you see
you
Shorty, he says hi. Then he's like, "Yo, let's get to work."
And then it's like Gimli or Legolas like hands him back the chain, you know, the necklace that he has and stuff.
And then Eowyn gets her heart broken and then the battle starts.
All right, before we get to the entrance, the Faramir, the intro of Faramir. So we got to talk about the food scene that we referenced earlier. So basically it's like Frodo and Sam, they're trying to take this shortcut now or like this long way to like Mordor. Following Gollum. And this scene was so funny to me because like Sam is like just pure hating. Like he literally says that like Gollum stinks. Like no, he's like
well,
this guy's
he does
a stink.
Smell.
No,
I
he's
mean,
like
no, cap.
He, no, but Sam was legit Sam was legit like, "Yo, this guy's a stinker." And Frodo's like, "Yo, why are you always so mean to him?" And this is just the first time that like Sam and Frodo are like fighting. Like actually fighting. And like Sam's like, "Yo, man, he can't take his eyes off the ring and stuff." And then like, and then we see at night, this is when we start seeing Gollum and Sméagol having that little split.
Right.
Because, like, they start having conversation. Like, he starts having conversations.
Yeah. Is this when he talks in the water? I think he's talking to himself in the water.
Talking to himself. Mm-hmm. And then I guess during daytime, that's when Gollum, does he catch, is it rabbits that he catches?
Yeah.
So he catches rabbits.
And he brings
rabbits.
Them over.
Yeah. He starts, like, gnawing on it. And then Sam makes the stew. And he wants
he's
his
the cook.
And he wants his potatoes and stuff.
No, that's actually the funniest thing is, They're obviously walking through like all of Earth, and like you look at the scenes of Sam, and he's got so many pots and pans. They're like cast iron.
Man,
and
he's
shit.
Holding so much. Bro. Yeah, he's got all that in the backpack.
Like yo, like not just like a little hibachi or something. Like no, like the whole deal, man. And yeah, he makes the scene. This is also the iconic scene where he goes. Potatoes. Like,
yeah.
It's one of the oldest memes, just like one does not simply walk into Mordor. Yeah, it's just a good, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, they're both trying to jostle for Frodo's affection. And I think Sam, for a lot of the film, he's like, I'm going to stay loyal to you no matter what, but it's weird that you're going with this guy over me a lot of times. Sam kind of, like, has a little bit of that jealousy.
But no cap, Sam has no idea where he's going.
Gollum's the one that's
has
leading.
Been there. He's the tour guide. So Gollum's he's just there. Trying to he's just trying to get it
cook
done.
A pair of rabbits, a brace of conies, which I did not know that's how they
a
English
brace of conies.
Yeah. And he almost drowned in the first one, fell into a sinkhole right outside Mordor. Oh, that was almost a wrap. You're right though, Josh. Like when you're saying earlier, it's like I didn't know the difference between book Frodo. And movie
big
Frodo.
Difference
because I think so much of these movies is like how much you're into that main storyline, and when I'm watching it, I'm like, man, Frodo's just so weak. Like he's all the time he's just fainting.
Yeah,
like he's
yeah,
just
yeah,
fainting.
Yeah.
Like he's just like what is it about him that like actually
gets,
draws me?
It
to
gets it? Way worse in the third movie.
Yeah,
like he goes from like 60 or 70% Frodo.
Yeah.
To like. 10 to 15.
Yeah, like he's losing it.
And whatever malice you have towards Sam,
yeah,
which is like full cap, but it gets reversed. I mean, Sam will become.
So Sam's going to have a redemption arc.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He does like whatever LeBron didn't do in the 15 finals.
Yeah.
He does in the 16. Back. Yeah, he comes all the way back.
Okay, so Frodo, Sam, Gollum are walking, and then suddenly they see this like whole army again. And it's the army with the two elephants, too, or Oliphants.
Oliphants.
Yeah, the Oliphants.
Yeah.
And Sam's like, oh, man, can you believe when we lived in the Shire, if we told peeps, we'd be out here? He's like, yo, do you think we could write...
from the other side of the world!
Do you think they'll write fairy tales about us, man? Like... I'm like, yo, get this guy out of here, man. Send this guy back to the
Man's
Shire.
Man's trying to make sure that his...
Yo, the whole world's on the line right now. And he's like, yo, you think they'll write books about us one day? Come on. Yo, come on. What are we doing?
Bro, trying to just make sure his legacy is supplanted.
Anyways, they get captured by these shadow people. And I guess they're revealed to be like Faramir and his whole crew from like Gondor. That's where they're from.
Boromir.
Yeah.
The guy who dies at the end of the first movie.
Brother.
This is his brother.
Yeah.
But they have no idea. Faramir does have no idea.
Yeah.
That a.
There was a fellowship. There was a whole that whole
crew.
He doesn't know
any of that stuff because again, no cell phones.
Yeah.
Or B that Frodo has the ring. He has no idea.
Yeah, he has no idea. And then Will, we get to the point where they're at. I don't know where they are, but the Gollum is like swimming in this forbidden pool. Just at the hot springs, having a blast.
It's a weird flex.
But apparently, if you jump in that pool, you die.
Yo, there should be like a sign or something that says no diving. And also, by the way, you die.
No, it's because there's... Dude's got all the bow and arrows on him.
No, but like...
He's about to get cooked.
Josh, you think he took that cloth off before diving in or what, man? He basically skinny dipping anyway. I think they were like, you know what? Actually, other people can swim in this pool, but this guy stinks.
Why don't we clock in the pool up?
Like, you know, like...
No, legit. I need the forbidden pool explained to me. Like, what's the hype about the forbidden pool?
I don't think there's too much explaining.
Because Gollum's just dancing around, having his first bath
in
years.
Man's in the forbidden pool. Yeah, he's just cooking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best part. He actually just eats the fish sashimi style, just like fucking just whacking it around. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he puts... And then Frodo's like, all right, let me go down to him. Let me save him. And then the Gollum's just like puts the fish in his mouth, like, oh, okay, master, let's go. And then they fucking then torture him. Fucking torture the shit out of him, man.
Because like Faramir's like introduces this like super conflicted character. Like he's skeptical. He finds out his brother died, like all of this stuff. How do we feel about movie Faramir? Like, is there a difference between the movie version and the book version? Because like for the movie version, he like, I feel like he got introduced real quick. And gets like thrown.
There's
into
definitely
it.
Way more character development in the book, and they leave definitely some pieces out in the movie.
There's also like I seem to remember in the extended editions, you get to see more backstory between Faramir and Boromir, like what they mean to each other as brothers, and they both love each other a lot. But their dad Denethor, which is his actual Denethor.
Is that Jeremy Ironside from The Highlander 2?
I don't even know.
They look identical.
He doesn't even know who we're talking about yet because we haven't even seen Denethor. That's a prime character for number three.
The dad's on a whole other... Dad's crazy.
Yeah. Basically,
Faramir's got the daddy issues, but for good reason.
Like, yeah, he's like the less favored son, and his brother gets all the hype. You know, he's a big personality, bombastic, captain of Gondor, all this stuff. And he's just like off to the side. And that's why he's like, when he discovers the ring, he's like, a chance for Faramir, captain of Gondor, to show his worth to my dad. Like, that's what he means. He didn't say to my dad, but that's what he's always trying to be. But he's a very noble and kind person. In the books, he doesn't even, capture them. They just, release them right away because he understands what they're doing. Yeah. In this one, he, takes them in another detour. they're just getting detoured all the time. Like, they took them to Osgiliath.
And they get cooked in the ruins.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, Frodo almost gives up the ring to the Ringwraiths again. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. But Faramir ultimately does the right thing, and he's a good guy. He's a good guy who does the right thing.
Yeah, and Faramir and all these guys, they're just humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're men.
They're called men. Just humans.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not elves. They're not dwarves. Yeah. They're not super beings.
Aragorn is just a man. Aragorn's just a man?
He's like half-half.
No, okay. I think one of his parents was elvish, right?
Because he can speak it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Up in Rivendell too, which is another weird part because again he grew up in Rivendell, but he's 87 now. But still, when he was a baby, he grew up in Rivendell, and Arwen has just been there like thousands of years old, being like, "Ooh, this kid, I'm gonna marry him one day." Like, what? The timing is weird, man.
And Gimli is a dwarf, and from the sense that I get is like people don't respect dwarves.
No,
because like every time
dwarves
people pull up on those guys,
conflicted past
with they're
elves.
They're like, get this dwarf out of my way, basically.
And if you've watched the Hobbit trilogy, you get to see a little bit of dwarvish culture and why people have issues trusting them.
Okay. Yeah. So we're heading towards like the end of the movie now, and there's three main storylines. There's the battle at Helm's Deep that happens.
Boom.
Merry and Pippin and the trees. The trees are like having a council meeting.
Yep.
And all this stuff. And then, of course, and then Faramir's with Sam, Frodo, and Gollum. Okay, let's start with the trees. So the trees call this meeting, and they're basically like, we're not going to get involved.
Well, because they don't have anything to fight for, they think.
Yeah, that's what they think. And then this is where Merry kind of steps up and like calls them cowards at first. And then the trees are like, yo, just shut up and go home. Like, we're going to take you home. We're going to bring you south or whatever.
Yeah, it's over for you. You're small. But no one cares about you. Yeah.
But then Merry and Pippin have a little conversation. And that's when they like kind of like, I think that's when Pippin realizes that like, yo, like we actually need to do this. We can't just go back to the Shire.
Well, no, he actually uses his brain for the first time in
so
the movie.
So he's like, take us towards basically Isengard.
Because he's going to show
And he sees that the trees are all like the forest is destroyed or whatever.
Yeah.
Like it's been destroyed.
Yeah, there's actually...
Pippin gets huge points for that then. Okay. Pippin should get huge points for that.
Dude, that's the beauty of the Fellowship. It's like everybody gets a chance to show what they got. You know what I mean? It's like the 2019 Raptors. Like, this is... Pippin right now hasn't done shit. Like, just like Fred VanVleet for the first, like, whole first Orlando
72
series.
72 games.
The whole Sixer series. 2 games of the Bucks series. He's still not doing shit.
Bro got the Band-Aid on. Let's go to town.
This is Pippin. Actually, this is not even Pippin's, like, this is not even Fred VanVleet's 7 threes against the Bucks. But it's like akin to that. He's like, oh, he's coming out of it now. Because, bro, what the first movie, Pippin was at fault for like 90% of what went wrong.
Brutal, brutal.
He's in Moria. He's like, oh, look at this head. Let me just throw it down this well and wake up the Balrog. Like, what the fuck was that? Okay. But no, no, he starts to, I think his whole thing is he's got good character. He's very noble. You'll see more and more of him as it goes on. And but this is a big
and
one.
And he's true. Like, what you see is what you get.
He's a real
one. He doesn't
one.
Have a bad bone in his body.
Yeah.
And they speak on that in the third movie.
Like, have you guys considered, like, kind of like, you know, I don't want to rewrite this classic text, but it's like, imagine if Merry or Pippin was the one rolling with Frodo, like, instead of Sam. Like, the story might play out different.
Okay, well, I'm not going to ruin the third movie
for you. Yeah.
But there is some. There are physical limitations.
Yeah.
If Merry and Pippin were in Mordor with Frodo, which is, I think, the reason why they chose Sam instead of Merry and Pippin.
Yeah. Also, and it also would have been funny if they actually ate their legs. They were just crawling.
So savage.
They're
so
like,
savage.
They're like, yo, we're just going to eat their legs, but still take them to Isengard. So anyway, the trees finally get mad because it's an environmental issue now.
Well, it's an ecocide.
Yeah, so they're pissed.
Yeah.
So what do they do?
A lot of these trees were my friends.
Yeah. So they launch rocks. They launch rocks and like break the dam
and all this stuff. They go to town.
No, but the funniest part about watching it again today was like, he's like, he walks to the edge of the forest. He sees Isengard is destroyed. All the trees are uprooted. And if you notice throughout the film, they actually made a point of him being like, rip out the trees, right? To light all the fires or whatever. As soon as Treebeard sees this, he's like, oh, and then like all the Ents just instantly appear out of the forest.
Because he's a leader.
Bro, but like how do they get there? Like, you know they're slow.
They're on the edge. They're waiting.
How are they just there?
Not a huge fan of the trees in general, man. Just like, I don't know. Maybe the CGI wasn't that great in 04 or whatever. Just like,
but when Treebeard like lets out that roar, that's hard.
Yeah, that is his call. Like, everybody's coming through.
And then that's a hard move.
So is this considered a big hit to Saruman? Like, that they destroyed that thing?
But Isengard being cooked?
But he's still, like, up on his, like, little tower thing.
He's got nothing left.
Okay.
Yo, again, going 2019 route, this is like when Kawhi blocked Giannis in that Game 5 comeback. It was like, oh, they're done. Because you know what? Isengard threw their best punch, right? He's like, I'm going to build 10,000 Orokai. I'm going to build this special orc, whatever. And then I'm going to send them to go fight Rohan, who have 300 people, like at least 50 of which are children and elders. Okay, you know what I mean?
Yeah, two with one eye!
You know what I mean? Like, we're going to fight, and that's my whole thing. And all of a sudden, he gets counterattacked by a bunch of trees who basically just go, like, they do some throwing of rocks, whatever, which does some stuff. But mostly, they release the river, the dam, and he had dammed up the whole river, and that just completely washes out and destroys everything.
Right, and he can't, because that was like the underground. He was building his army and all that stuff.
Industry.
Yeah.
There's a famous line where he's speaking to one of the orcs, and he says something about industry. I forget the...
Okay, like, so
the structure
so
of
Saruman
the line, but...
ends this... So,
Stringer Bell style.
So Saruman at the end of this movie is like, yo, he's taking a little bit of a hit there. He took a little hit. Okay, sorry.
Bro, he's done. He's done.
Treebeard.
It was a little dark on my phone when I was watching. And my AirPods died, by the way.
They literally destroy one of the towers.
Yeah.
Like.
Okay.
I don't know how to put this.
Yeah.
It's like going into the finals against the Spurs in 99.
Yeah.
And just David Robinson's just injured.
Yeah, like he's out. Okay.
So you only have to deal with one now.
Okay. So, you know, the battle at Helm's Deep, which I read after too, is considered like one of the best, like, you know, battle sequences in movie history. Couldn't really tell. It was a little bit dark on my phone.
So
I'm going to let you guys, take over on just kind of like, you know, winners and losers from the battle at Helm's Deep.
All right. Before we even get into the conclusion of the battle, probably need to cover at least three of like the greatest portions of the battle.
Okay.
One of them being right before the battle starts. Where the orcs are basically yelling, Gimli's too short
to look over. Yeah.
And then Legolas says something like, Do you want me to narrate this for you? What's happening?
Or should I get you a box?
Yeah, a box.
I love the fact that you're starting to see them you know, start to become better friends. They're also sickos because they're just like, let's banter on the battlefield. Everyone else is terrified.
Yeah, bro's like counting bodies.
Yeah, they're like, yo, let's go, baby. Like, we're, you know, we're just playing. Like, there's certain, like, going, like, there's certain NBA players, like a J.R. Smith, who are like, you know what? It's a game. Y'all take it so seriously. There's a game plan over here. I'm going to do the coolest shit possible, and you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because it's entertainment.
Right.
I feel like that was Gimli's energy throughout this whole thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so winners. Actually, let's start with losers for me. Haldir just shows up. He's like, alliance once existed between elves and men.
Bodied.
And then he just gets clapped.
Yeah, he gets.
This is the elf guy.
Yeah.
Who like brings the whole army, and he's like done quick. Yeah. Is he like this in the book? Like, did he get a fair shake in the movie?
In the book, the elves don't even come to this.
Oh, okay.
And I don't even think. There was like another group of men. I believe the Rangers showed up.
Yeah, the Rangers.
Yeah, so Aragorn's like, you know, high school buddies show up basically.
Well, the elves in the 60s, movie, they have a name, oh, like a weird name. Don't they have like a weird
maybe? Yeah.
Maybe they're called Elvish Rangers in the movie or something like that.
There's a lot of categorizations. But regardless, okay, Haldir is definitely a loser.
Oh, big time.
The Uruk-hai is a loser. First of all, who was even their commander?
Oh, there's one.
Who was the commander?
He's got like the...
The little face paint, the handprint on his hand.
Yeah.
He got bombed.
He's got a mad weird English accent too. Like super weird.
Saruman just palmed his head and he's like, yeah, this is your whole existence now. This is the one thing.
You're my second in command.
Yeah. One of the losers for me, honestly, is probably Théoden as well. The king, right? So at one point, he's like trying to like, again, like just protect the gate. Most of the men are just at this gate trying to protect the
door. Oh, and then he gets stuck.
Yo, bro, he comes at the gate and he just gets stuck immediately.
The only thing he's done in the entire battle.
Yeah.
And they just stick him with a big wooden stake right through his left shoulder.
Luckily, he's still alive, but damn, like you just didn't see a lot of prowess. And he's trying to do the bravado thing the whole time. He's like, man, like this is gonna be a legendary end to our people. We're gonna go out fighting. And then at the very end, he's like, bro, we're done out here. And then I don't even understand at the end of the whole thing where like Gimli was like, Gimli's a very valuable fighter. You gotta understand. Gimli like go kill hundreds of orcs by himself, right? They just sent him to go blow a horn. Meanwhile, everyone else is like, fight. I'm like,
blow the horn, blow the horn.
I'm like, bro, we gotta have priorities right now. Like,
The best scene for me out of that was when Legolas was like sliding down the stairs.
Oh, the surf,
like a skateboard.
The surf move? Oh, yeah. Dude was cold.
I thought Legolas was like the clear winner in this, man.
Yeah.
He had so many cool moves in this.
Gimli also had a super hard move where they sneak behind the door and Aragorn throws him.
Mm.
And he says, don't tell Legolas.
Yes.
And then Gimli single-handedly bodies literally 50 orcs on the drawbridge.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that's the thing. Gimli's like an incredible fighter.
No,
so I don't know why they made him play a French horn in the most important moment of the game.
Yeah. That was to rally whoever is left, I guess.
That's like when Nick Nurse called timeout and like with 3 minutes of the game five, and all of a sudden the Warriors came back with a 9-0 run.
And then Gandalf pulls up with Carl Urban and his whole crew, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because that's where.
Look to the light. Look to the light on the fifth day.
Gandalf comes up.
Yeah.
Did that, like, reading the books, like, how did it translate in the movie in terms of how they did this battle?
I think it was that. I think that part was fairly faithful, if I remember correctly, on that one. But it was pretty cool. They made the slope look so steep.
It was mad steep.
Yeah, I'm like, what? How is that even possible? And that's the thing. I was like, when they were like in the chamber and they had their horses, first off, they just had their horses in the back. And then they just charge out. But I'm like, I know you didn't kill all the orcs. The other orcs are just running in and killing the women and children. Like, you know what I mean? Like, again, Gimli could have been very useful, but he's blowing a horn this whole time.
One dwarf. There's only one of him.
Bro, just let a human go blow the horn. Like, let one of the children go blow the horn, man.
Yeah, why did Gimli have to blow the horn?
It's so confused.
It's true. Anyone could have done that.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe there's a certain way to blow it.
Maybe, yeah. I also, I feel like the tactics used by Mordor there, or used by Saruman, I mean, he had the gunpowder thing, the bomb, with like the Olympic runner, with the Olympic flame.
Yeah.
And then he blows it up. But besides that, like, the tactics were terrible, bro. Like, why don't you incorporate some wargs in there? Like, you know what I mean? Like, mix it up so it's not just like orkai after orkai after orkai. Climb a fucking
ladder. I don't know how many wargs you really had, though.
I maybe.
Saw a lot of wargs on the battlefield.
I'm just saying, tactically, like, you know, it was like, you remember the Houston Rockets shooting 28, missing 28 threes? Yeah. Like, try something else, man, please. Yeah, Saruman got cooked in this one.
So Saruman took a lot of L's in this movie, basically.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's a huge step back for him.
Well, right at the end of the movie, Gandalf actually talks about how what's the retribution of Sauron will be mighty or something like that, but we have to be ready for it. This isn't over.
Yeah, they won the battle, but they still got to fight the war.
The war, exactly.
Like, they still got to fight the war.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Gandalf,
the battle.
Gandalf always with those hard one-liners.
Gandalf got the best lines in the movie for sure. Okay, so Battle of Helm's Deep, and then the movie closes with like the Faramir with like Sam and Frodo. This is when you guys mentioned like Frodo's like turning crazy at this point. And then the ring wraith guy with the dragon flies in. Right.
Because he's feeling the stab wound from the first movie on his collarbone or whatever.
Right. Okay.
And they want to get to the ring, so he's really wilding out.
Yeah, and he's about to hand.
He's OD'ing that ring wraith, right now.
The ring.
He's about to
give up the ring.
Yeah.
And then Sam saves him last minute. And then Frodo's like going crazy, brings a sword to like, he like wants to stab Sam. And Sam's like, it's me. It's your Sam. Don't you know you're Sam? And I'm like, get out of here, man. Get out of here. Anyways, whatever. Frodo snaps out of it. And Sam gives this big speech about how like, yo, man, with all the evil in the world, like you still got to believe in the good and stuff. And that gets
that's a great speech.
And that gets Faramir to be like, all right, I'll let you guys go.
Because he finally understands what's at stake.
Yeah, he sees it. Okay, so that speech was like a big scene.
That's a big speech.
Big speech. Okay.
That's the thing. That's the only really strong thing Sam does here, aside from making a rabbit stew in this movie, is make that big speech and appeal to the hearts of people. If you notice in that scene, even Gollum was touched. Spiegel's like, yo, you're right, bro. It's all about hope. Yeah, he's like, you know, with his English accent too, that wasn't really strong either. I think he's an American doing an English accent, if I'm not mistaken. He's like, you know, folk in those stories, they had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. And I'm like, what is this?
It's great. No, that's fantastic. Kept going
because they were holding on to something. Man, and then he's like, you know, there's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo. Like, him calling him Mr. Frodo.
Mr. Frodo!
This is my problem, too, man.
It's almost like an Irish accent.
Like, why are you calling him Mr., man? That's like your best friend.
Because he's his gardener.
Oh, my God, man. This guy's a gardener, man.
Oh, man. He works for Frodo.
Yeah, anyway, so, like, so now they're, you know, they're out of Faramir's clutches. They're back on the road. And they're back and
just walking again.
They're bare feet
basically
too, man. Put
nothing
on some shoes,
happened.
Man.
They're actually in a worse position
than
they were at the beginning of the movie.
They've suffered a bit of a setback,
through
this whole movie. Yeah. Where are they even right now? Like map wise, are they close to Mordor? Right now?
They're near Gondor, right?
So they're in Osgiliath when Sam gets the whole speech. Yeah. They're fighting the whole thing there. They're released and then Gondor's right beside Mordor, so they're actually pretty close. So Mordor is kind of like for some reason, Mordor, the topography makes no sense, okay? Yeah. There's just like mountains on three sides, like a square, okay?
The main gate
they're trying to pull up on, that was stupid, they couldn't really go through. Now they're trying to go through this like secret back door that Gollum knows about. But as you can see at the very end, Gollum's talking about it, and Gollum's like, yeah, I'll lead you guys to the back door, and then I'm going to kill you. Because the evil side comes out because he got betrayed. See, the coping mechanism only works if you reciprocate that trust.
So how did he get betrayed again?
He was in that pool eating that fish, and then Faramir tortured him after Frodo was like, come on.
Yeah, because
all this over
Frodo
some hot
told
springs.
Him everything was chill, and then 2 seconds later, he got cooked.
Yeah, okay. So
started getting stretched out.
So the Gollum
side. His loincloth didn't get
returned. The Gollum side is like, the Gollum side of him is like, hurt
because
like he is because
he's seduced by the ring as well.
But Smeagol is trying to fight that.
Smeagol wants to keep the ring,
yeah.
So he's actually just going to try to steal the ring,
from
Frodo. And he's coming up with an entire plan,
yeah.
He speaks about it at the end,
well,
colloquially,
he's like,
and says, she'll take.
Yeah, yeah, no, because he's like, I'm gonna bring them to her.
Her, exactly.
And that's like the big.
And you have yeah
and I have no idea
what that means, but you know it's something bad.
Yeah. I'm like, is it gonna be Arwen? Like, what's going on? You don't know.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You don't know.
But yeah, you don't know.
But that's how we close. We close like pretty ominously with
super
Gollum, with Gollum being like, "Yo, they're done."
I'll tell you one thing. Because I watched the movie last night for maybe the 28th time.
Yeah.
And I was trying to watch it with Chantel.
Yeah.
My girlfriend.
Yeah.
Who runs the store with me.
Your Arwen.
My Arwen.
She just runs the store.
No, I'm just saying. I mean.
Not
so
with
she
you.
She did not want to watch the movie because she said.
She's sick of it?
No. Okay. She likes watching
yeah.
Lord of the Rings, but yeah. she wants to watch the trilogy.
Right.
And she's right in saying that watching The Two Towers by itself is difficult because it ends on a cliffhanger.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
you want to watch the second and third back to back.
Yeah.
Whereas watching Fellowship, you can watch by itself.
Right, right.
It's standalone.
Right, right, right.
Not two, that the two and towers,
three, two and three sequence in a way where you should watch
not
it.
Not that The Two Towers is a bad movie because it's super incredible.
Yeah.
But you have to literally watch both together.
I like Two Towers a lot more than the first one. And I think it's just, you can't help it though, because like the first one, you obviously have to introduce the characters.
Yeah, you know who they are in the second
one. Yeah,
here
you're like getting going, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Couple of weak plots, you know, wasn't feeling the trees. Thought the Aragorn, Arwen stuff was a little bit like just, they ushered that into the story. Like, because Arwen was like, she's not like really part of the story. She's just posted up at home. Like, I'm not feeling that impact.
Yeah, you don't really.
I feel like Aragorn's story, to be honest, like two movies in is kind of weak. For someone that's supposed to be a big character.
He about to be him and some in the
but
third.
But all I'm saying is through two.
Yeah.
Like, I was expecting him to be a big character. Like, he's... I don't feel like he's got big plots yet.
I think you're kind of capping. Like,
yeah.
The first scene at the Prancing Pony when the hobbits meet Aragorn and he's in the corner with that hood on just smoking out the cut. He's in the cut. Yo, he's serious.
Yeah, okay, so.
I don't know. Like, Aragorn's got a lot going on. Plus, he's nice with the sword.
Yeah.
Like, he's super nice like that.
To be clear, he also rizzes the only two women in the whole movie.
Yeah. It's the only, like, sex subplot that we have going.
And he never really even talks to them. It's just him being there.
Yeah. It's just his presence.
His presence.
It's just his presence. Yeah. Okay. So a little bit of... Okay. Let's do the three. So we do three stars from the movie. So I'm going to pick my three stars.
Okay. Okay.
And then we'll do a little bit Return of the King, like predictions teaser.
because the movie hasn't come out.
You guys can ask me questions about that. So my three stars, number three, I'm going to go...
Before you do that, are you going to be watching the third movie on a 2x2 iPhone as well?
Yeah, okay, most likely. Yeah. So Mordor's going to look nice on there. So third star, I got to give Legolas. I feel like he had a lot of cool like individual moments like in battle scenes and stuff. And I really like his friendship too, to be honest, with like Gimli, with Aragorn and stuff. Good chemistry from that group. Legolas is like a cool character to me. Number two, I'll go with Gandalf. I just think Gandalf's the coolest dude in the universe. And like he's always coming up with like crazy stuff. And number one, I'm giving it to my guy Gollum/Sméagol, man.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my guy now. I'm heavily invested in like his ending. I don't even care about Frodo, to be honest.
You know what? To be fair, Frodo hasn't given you that much to care about because he's just like, oh, this shit is heavy. I'm like, all right,
he's soft. Like, he's super soft.
To be clear, he has the hardest job because he has to actually carry this ring that is actively compelling him and like ruining his, like, you know, people around him and all that kind of stuff. So it is difficult. I'm a little surprised at Gandalf. I think it's a little upset. I feel like he could have been number one here. I mean, he literally comes back as Gandalf the White. Yeah. He literally brings the whole army to save them at the very end there. He saves Théoden and he like sucks the poison out. He sucks the Saruman out of him. Which is
the best scene in the movie is when Saruman gets booted out of Théoden.
So Gandalf the Great of the White move is
no,
so
Gandalf,
hard.
Gandalf has the best lines, like has all these power moves, but I feel like they use them in small doses though. Yeah. Like for me, it's like when I'm picking on this, I'm just like, oh, most intriguing like characters to me. Like I thought Gollum and Sméagol was like the big character of this movie in terms of like moving him along, making people kind of care about him a little bit. Like, I actually want to know his, like, whole backstory, and I want to know, like, where this is going and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I feel that.
Yeah.
Smeagol is, like, a love-hate relationship because you get to see both sides, extreme sides of him in the same movie, and sometimes within 5 minutes of each other.
Yeah, I just think he's, like, a super interesting character.
He is.
Yeah. He's next to Frodo and
Sam. He's
very
polarizing.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Sam only because of what happens in the third movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to not love Sam.
And then we have the Gerald Henderson Award. How do you explain the Gerald Henderson Award to Josh in movie format?
It's the person that you wouldn't, that surprise you the most, a really pleasant surprise.
Like, you wouldn't expect to, like, step up, but, like, stepped up. And I gave it to Pippin because Pippin made the move.
100%.
Pippin made the move to get them to take down Isengard.
Yeah. I like that too. Yeah, 100%.
So I'm giving it to Pippin.
You didn't see him making that move.
Yeah, no, no.
And
no.
Then he gets the end. He gets Treebeard to turn around. I mean, that's big.
But, you know, I acknowledge that Pippin did play a good role in this, right? He also had that really clever move where he's like, oh, they're like, Aragorn's chasing us. Let me just, like, bite my, like, clip off on my. And then he, like, sped it out because it's like the leaf, whatever.
But how does the cape stay on?
Yeah, it's a good question. Okay.
Because he bites it off, and the clip's supposed to keep the cape on, but the cape stays on anyways.
It's actually just mad adorable that they're getting a piggyback ride from the Uruk-hai for hundreds, because the movie just starts out with them just running after each other. Like, they're actually not making up any ground. They're just straight sprinting the whole time.
Yeah. No, Gimli's got some good lines in there, too. He got some great
Merry
lines.
And Pippin had it easy too, man, because that Treebeard was hugging them the whole movie, like, just bringing them along.
They don't even walk at
all. Yeah, they were chilling. Their feet were clean, man.
Yeah, they walk.
They didn't need to hit the
steps.
Forbidden Pool for sure.
They walk 20 steps in the forest before they run into they almost got killed by that orc, and then Treebeard picks them up.
And they were chilling the rest of the way.
Yep, they never
walk.
They were
chilling, man.
Ubered out. Uber everywhere.
So the last part of this, you know, I've been asking a lot of questions. It's time for you guys to ask me questions about what I think is going to happen in Return of the King. You can ask me about characters. I mean, I guess the overall thing is, I guess everybody's heading to Mordor on this one.
This is the culmination of 6 hours of watching in the first two movies.
Right.
You obviously know there's three movies, so something is going to give. We're going to have some sort of showdown between Sauron and the powers that be and Frodo. Frodo's going to have to make the ultimate decision. Am I going to keep this ring or am I going to do for the betterment of Middle Earth and destroy it in the pits of Mordor?
Okay. All right. So a couple open-ended questions right now. Yeah. We'll start with something small. Mm. At the very end, Gollum's like, yeah, we'll lead her to her. Who do you think her is, or what do you think her is?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. If I were to make the big brain prediction, I was going to say Arwen, and, like, Arwen becomes this, like, evil elf, which I guess I'm being laughed off.
I mean, it's not that bad of a plot line.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
It's not Arwen.
Okay. Who her is, that was a really nice cliffhanger, I think, for people to think about. I don't even have a guess.
Another kind of open-ended thing, but there's that love triangle, right, between Aragorn, Arwen, and Eowyn. Also, they could have, like, the names are a little too similar. My mouth is, like, getting a little tired saying that. Yeah. But who do you think Aragorn goes with?
I'm going to go with another big plot twist in that Aragorn goes with neither of them. Yeah.
Wow. And Aragorn, leaves them both.
Aragorn says, I'm just gonna, you know, do my own thing. Yeah. I'm 87.
I'm turning 88.
Yeah. What else do I want to see? You know, I want to see a big, I think this is coming, a big Gandalf versus Saruman.
So you're basically saying Aragorn just bets on himself.
Yeah. I want to say, you know, I need to see Gandalf Saruman, like, hand-to-hand combat or, like, wizardry type.
An whatever. Eye versus a wizard.
Yeah, staff versus staff, like, whatever. Like, that's what I want to see. You know, I'm super invested with Gollum. Like, I want Gollum to have a good ending. I want Gollum to, like, you know, overcome his little Fight Club split personality thing right now. And, yeah, I guess I want to see more from, like, Aragorn and some of these other characters. Is Faramir popping up? I guess don't tell me. I'm guessing Faramir still has a bit of a story.
Faramir appears. I won't.
Are we ever going to see Bilbo Baggins again? Like,
Bilbo might appear in the third movie.
Okay, Bilbo just popped out to like some library thing or something last time we saw him. Yeah. Wasn't he writing a book? Oh, yeah. No, he writes this thing, I think. Yeah, yeah, I remember this.
He writes. Yeah.
That's why Sam's like, yo, man, you think we ever going to be in a fairy tale? You?
Bilbo.
Me and you, mister.
Bilbo wrote The Hobbit.
Okay.
And The Lord of the Rings is written by Frodo.
Okay. So he's the one that's going to write
in the leather book that's at Baggins End.
Okay. And I'm not... I need more like lore from Sauron as well, the eye.
Yeah.
Like, I need to see the eye like step
You up. Don't get any of that in The Lord of the Rings, but you do get quite a bit of that in the first Hobbit movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the really unique challenges of making this film is the main villain is not seen. Like, you see certain manifestations. You see an eye. So, spoiler alert, you see another body part of Sauron later on in the third film.
No, what is it, man? His rib? Tell me, man. Give me a multiple choice. Give me multiple choice. I need to know.
Man. All right, so we already got the eye. Okay. All right, we got the nose of Sauron. We got the hand of Sauron. We got the ear of Sauron and the mouth of Sauron.
Oh, what? I'm going to say the mouth. Yeah. I'm going to say the mouth. I was gonna, he's going to be spitting some hot flames out there. So.
Trust me. At one point, you will see his mouth, and it is going to be very disturbing. You'll be very disturbed when you see
You're not going to like it.
And where does, like, how does the third movie rank for you guys, you know, in terms of within the trilogy?
I mean, for me, it's the best one, man. I feel like it ties everything up. Honestly, number two, watching it again, low-key, I think I have it like number three right now. I used to always have number two, but like, yeah, I don't know, man. I think I actually like Fellowship a little bit more. They did a much better job of character development in the first one. You got to see everyone's motivations, their individual things, and like what it will take for them to find sort of the completion in their stories. Number two, there's a lot of action in this one, which is cool. The action is probably the best part. Again, Legolas skateboarding was pretty sick. You know, going back to that Helm's Deep battle, when Aragorn throws him, you know, earlier there's a flashback to when they were in Moria. He's like, nobody tosses a dwarf. And then he jumps the distance. This time he's like, nah, you got to toss me, bro.
Yeah.
So like, those things are pretty good. But generally speaking, I feel like character-wise, I actually prefer this. That's also Rohan. It's just not that compelling of a country to me. Like, I'm like, you could save them because, like, they're there, but,
it's
like,
just a region.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of guys on horses. Like, they don't seem to have any economy beyond, like, horses and, like, little
Well, it's a very small community.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, all right, like, cool, like, we did it. But, like, you know, the bigger fish here is Gondor, right, and Minas Tirith, who we've already seen in the first film because Gandalf goes there. So you're like, whoa, this is a huge city. They got economies, you know, they probably got currency. They probably got like people working trades.
They got their own coins.
They got their own coin, exactly. Like Rohan out here looking like they're bartering and shit. Like,
yeah, Rohan just got horse buggies and stuff.
Yeah. Wooden shacks.
It's all civilians.
Yeah.
So are there cool new characters that I'm going to meet in the third one?
Yeah, for sure.
Because I met a lot of new characters in this one.
Oh, yeah. There's possibly the best. Mini plot is in the third movie,
okay.
And it revolves around Aragorn. And it
so Aragorn finally gets a good story
and culminates in the final battle scene.
Okay,
yeah, it's possibly one of if not the best like one liner kind of zingers and stuff. Aragorn has it.
Okay.
Right at the end of the movie. But yeah, there's a really great plot line revolving around war and battling in the third movie, which is very cool.
All right.
Yeah.
I need you to give me your predictions of what happens to Frodo, what happens to Sam, and what happens to Gollum.
Okay. That's a tough one, man. I think Frodo, you know, goes crazy, but then he like, at the end...
It kind of does.
Yeah, but. He tosses the ring. Oh, yeah, you remember this. I remember, but I also don't remember. I can't remember if these are real memories.
Right, it's when you were nine.
I can't remember what Sam does, to be honest. Like, I don't know. I guess you guys have hinted at Sam, like, doing some, like, cool stuff.
Sam basically
if I hear another speech, I'm not going to be impressed if it's a speech, is all I'm saying. I need some hand-to-hand.
More speech, to be clear.
Okay, but I need some hand-to-hand
combat. Oh, yeah, there is a speech right at the end after he becomes him.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, you're going to be like cool with it because of what he does.
Okay. And I think, I hope Gollum regains his like, you know, hobbit form or whatever, like somehow.
Oh, reverts back?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a Benjamin Button situation.
Like, yeah. Goes back 500 years. Okay.
And him and Bilbo just like chill in the Shire, like for life.
Does
that
flashback River Folk scene happen in the third movie?
It's actually the very first scene of the third film.
Okay, you're about to feel a whole other way about Gollum.
Because
very soon.
You know how people kept calling, remember we had the whole joke on the banter pod of like Smeagol and Deagle?
Yeah.
I realize you haven't even seen Deagle yet.
No.
You've only seen Smeagol. Yeah. You're about to see Deagle, all right?
Deagle's a whole other animal.
So is Deagle another personality of Smeagol?
No.
Or Deagle's a completely
No, Deagle's his own
cousin.
Guy.
That's his cousin.
Okay.
His cousin, yeah.
Okay, so Smeagol gonna do some like evil shit.
He's gonna
to
do
kick
something.
Off, kick
yeah,
off
yeah,
the
yeah,
third
yeah.
one. And gonna make me feel differently about.
All I'm gonna
about
say is there's thing. Some mud involved.
Yeah, I just want to hold on to my love for Gollum, man. I'm rooting for this dude now.
Of course you would.
I'm rooting for this dude. All right, I think that's it, man. Will, you know, how'd you feel about? I feel like you had a great time doing this pod right here.
No, especially the karaoke aspect of this is great because I got to just really sit and really just enjoy your exploration of it, Josh's passion, and yeah, I'm so excited to see the third film now. I mean, again, I've also seen it many, many times. I used to do this thing in university where me and my roommate in first year, we would just like watch the films and then we would just quote it to each other. You know what I mean? So, like, just even going through all this is really great. But I think also just, like, you know, I hope you're appreciating just the narrative qualities to this thing. Because the action is, like, primarily what the thing is. But it's really about, like, what everyone's motivations are and what they're fighting for. And that's why I got to say, like, Sam's speech at the end, man, it moves me all the time. You know, I got a little teary-eyed. You know, he's like, there's some good Mr. Frodo, and it's worth fighting for. I'm like, oh, that what he's saying. Mr. Frodo.
That's because you're naive and basic, like a hobbit. Sam's got a lot of ground to make up in the third one.
He's about to do that.
If he's gonna win,
comeback character of the film.
He needs to like slay Saruman or something. Like, he gotta like take a knife to him or something. Like, I'm gonna need because you're saying he becomes him.
I mean, I'll give you a sports reference.
Yeah,
he basically. Goes from Jose Bautista on the Pirates to Jose Bautista's 10 or 11 season where he hit 52 or 53
that's,
in the
That's
third
a
movie.
Big jump.
That's all I'm going to say. Yeah, yeah. Sam's got a big one. So,
all right, Josh. Well, we had a bunch of other stuff we want to talk to you about, but we can save it for when we get you back on the pod again. Because I think this was a great, great 90 minutes of Lord of the Rings deep dive.
We deeped.
And,
we died.
I'm super excited to watch the last one. So Will and I will recap Return of the King next month. And then, yeah, I think for real on the next episode of Dragon Ball Z, we'll actually, one of us or both of us will have a career update. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Say you're gone.